It's always an amazing parasha to read about Balak and Balaam. And you wonder why it wasn't called Balaam, but of course, Balak is the first word used in the parasha, so that's what it's called. And my message today is called Irrevocable Blessing or a Curse. You know, Balak and Balaam, it was all about the blessings and the curses. And today I want to look at the choices that we make in life and and what we want to receive from those choices. I want to just look at these choices that we're making and decide whether we want to live in irrevocable blessings or be living under a curse. So let us pray. Abba Father, I just thank you for the word that you've given me for today. I pray, Abba Father, that people will receive it in the honour that I have written it, and I pray, Abba Father, that they will take what they want and leave the rest. Abba, not every word is meant for every person. And I just pray that these words will be a blessing to those who receive it. And we ask it in Yeshua's name. Amen. We are each and every one of us the offspring of Avraham. And that's because we are in Yeshua HaMashiach. We are special as the sons of Avraham. And so, because we are special, we get the eternal blessing that was spoken over Avraham. And where Yehovah spoke to Avraham in Bereshit chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. He said, "And Yehovah said to Avram, go yourself out to the land from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you. And I shall make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I shall bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. And in you all the clans of the earth will be blessed." In you, all the clans of the earth will be blessed. What's us? We are in Avraham because we are heirs to the Father through Avraham's seed, Yeshua HaMashiach. And we know that what I just spoken is known as the Avrahamic covenant. This covenant is irrevocable blessing. And it did not allow anyone else to pronounce a curse on them. As the frustrated Balaam found out in the Torah portion that we call Balak today, that we read, and as I said, really the portion should be called Balaam, because he's the central figure. Yet they always practice the naming of the portion after the first few words that are in the parashah. So for that reason, the portion is called Balak. In our Haftarah reading from Micah, we see that Am Yisrael, or the people of Israel, enjoy the blessing of Yehovah. Enemies of Israel will be torn to pieces as lion tears to pieces forest animals in its wake, according to Micah chapter 5 and verse 7. And it says, "And the remnant of Yaakov shall be among the Gentiles, in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of a forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, who, if he passes through, shall both tread down and shall tear, and there is no one to deliver." The lesson of Balaam and Moab is again repeated in Micah, providing us with our link to the Torah portion. Being a special remnant as Yehovah's people, and those that are grafted in, carries with it a price tag. It's a price tag of responsibility. And as the prophet Micah instructs them in chapter 6, near the ending of our Haftarah portion, he says in chapter 6, verse 8, "He has declared to you, O man, what is good. And what does Yehovah require of you but to do right and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your Elohim. This is the key verse to the whole book of Micah. What's interesting about this verse is that the responsibility takes on the form of verbs, doing words, actions. And unless we're acting in that way, we are not using the responsibility that Yehovah has given us. Now, these words were to do, or to act right, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. We mustn't be proud and arrogant, as most of the world is today. We have to be humble, because this is the heritage of Yehovah's people. To be obediently living out the Torah in our lives, if we truly listened to the Torah portion as we read it, you will notice that in the end of the reading, the people broke obedience with Yehovah and allowed themselves to be carried away with their lustful passions in committing harlotry. They backslid, as we might call it today, and therefore were living under a curse. I want to address the issue of being the special remnant, because that's what we are. There's not many of us left in the world, because so many people out there think that they're the remnant, but they're actually under a curse because they're no longer following Yehovah's word. They're no longer living according to the Torah. They certainly don't eat according to the Torah. And of course, it's all right to sin as long as they repent afterwards and then sin again the next day. They don't live as Yehovah wants them to live. Therefore, they're not entitled to the blessing. So those that live like that are the special remnant. One contemporary rabbi addresses this issue of being special and its relationship to the Torah. And he said, the price of being special is the obligations that come with the title, whether we are called, and he calls them the chosen people, the Levi, the Kohen, or the Kohen Agadol. It comes with a special responsibility. It comes with special expectations, and it certainly comes with restrictions. These additional responsibilities, expectations, and restrictions are in regard to our relationship with Yehovah. In regard to Yehovah, it is expected that we will be more aware of his presence and act in accordance with his mitzvot or commandments. Mostly it should be obvious in the respect we have for human beings and the integrity of our actions with them. But I want to make this very clear. The chosen people are the children of Israel, of Abraham and Israel's seed. We are chosen because of his seed through Yeshua and our observance of Torah. Some of us are chosen because we are born straight line from the seed. Others are grafted in. It doesn't matter how we got there. We are still special. The Jewish people of today are not the chosen people. They were chosen. They were chosen to bring forth the seed of Yeshua through King David's line. But they sinned. They turned against Yah. They even rejected that seed when it arrived. They no longer received the blessing. So they no longer can carry the title of being chosen. They have actually lost their blessing. They do not observe Torah, but they observe the Talmud, as Minister Yitzhak showed us last week through his video. They do not observe the love of humankind that Yehovah expects us to have. They do not act right. They do not love kindness. They certainly do not walk humbly with Yehovah. They are very proud. The sons of Avraham were chosen to bring forth the Messiah. And after he was crucified and was seated beside the Father, there was no longer a need for sacrifices or a Levitical priesthood, as the curtain of separation had been destroyed. They turned their back on the promised Messiah and lost their blessing. However, being designated as a special remnant is far more profound than our performance of the mitzvot or manner with which we relate to others. Being a special remnant also demands a singular way of thinking and feeling. How often do we hear, so long as I don't do anything wrong, what difference does it make what I think? Or why are you concerned about how I feel? So long as I don't act on those feelings, why should you care? Yehovah cares. The concept of sinning in our hearts and minds is foreign to Western logical thinking, or even legal philosophy for that matter. As a society, we can only mandate behaviour. We have no right to demand a certain way of thinking or feeling. Basically, the same is true in Torah thought as well. The Torah never demands an emotion. It only demands behaviour. For example, you must love Yehovah with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This verse, we say in the Shema, is said 3 times a day in Orthodox Judaism, but it does not demand an emotion. It demands action. All 3 expectations, as I said, are for action. Of course, the Torah is not discouraging emotion, just the opposite. The truly integrated personality observing the mitzvot or commandments with passion and feeling are the ones that truly love Yehovah. However, the demand is for performance, not emotion. So what is the secret of remaining in covenant obedience to the Torah? The covenant requires a response on the part of the follower. Yehovah, for his part, has provided the promise of inheritance for all those who participate in the Abrahamic covenant. This response to this covenant is trust or faith. The nature of the Mashiachal or Messianic covenant is blessing, maintenance, and enjoyment of promise. For those that wish to participate, the response to this covenant is obedience. It's that easy. Well, for us, but not for others who follow the doctrines of man or even turn away from Yehovah's mitzvot. And when they turn away from Yehovah's mitzvot, this brings us to a point of backsliding and the curses that follow. Now, we assume that the backslider is someone who once knew Yehovah and walked away. But that's not always the case. There are many that never miss a service, that pay tithes and give offerings, and will give anything to help others. On the outside, they look like the perfect person who loves Yehovah according to the Shema. But, it's a big but. The dictionary defines a backslider as someone who lapses into a previous undesirable pattern of behaviour, or a person who transgresses moral or civil law, or to relapse into bad habits, sinful behaviour, or undesirable activities. And there's many people sitting in churches that have done just that. If we were once mighty in prayer and we aren't now, what are we? Backsliding? If we were once led by the Ruach HaKodesh but aren't now, what are we? We're not pressing into Yah like we used to. When a person backslides or turns back to their former evil ways, it is a shame because they're actually saying, "Yah, I didn't find you interesting enough to follow." What they are doing is mocking Yehovah to the world. They are saying, "I enjoy the pleasures of sin more than the things of Yah." And this is the reason many will not come into the kingdom, because they see the hypocritical nature of some that are in the kingdom, professing to be set apart or holy. It's like saying, "Do as I say, not as I do." Yehovah will be especially hard on those who follow their own evil lustful thoughts, and those who are proud, those who are arrogant and willful, daring even to scoff at the teachings of Yeshua without so much as trembling. And we read this in Kepha Beit, or 2 Peter, this afternoon. For it says, "For if after you have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Master and Saviour, Yeshua HaMashiach, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than at first. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the set apart command delivered unto them. For them the proverb has proved true: a dog returns to his own vomit, and a washed sow returns to her rolling in the mud." A backslider will no longer follow instructions, but go after their own ways. We have quite a number of people leave our congregation because they refuse to live according to Yehovah's word or come under the mitzvot of Yehovah's instructions. Every generation has suffered people who say they are following Yeshua HaMashiach, but by their fruits you can see that they don't. Yeshua is the only one that we should follow. He was an example on this earth. He showed us how to live. He came and he died for each and every one of us. And if we follow the way he lived, we can't go wrong. But there are many things that can hinder our spiritual growth and put us on the road to backsliding back away from Yehovah and Yeshua and his will and purpose for our lives. Yehovah wants us to live in victory, being an overcomer, and bring glory to him. We must be on guard and be faithful. If a Talmud like Kepha, who walked, ate, virtually lived with Yeshua for 3.5 years, could lose out by denying him 3 times, we either have to be much stronger in our faith than he, or we must avoid the pitfalls that he fell into. We want to grow and not dry out in our walk with Yeshua. The process of backsliding is a gradual one, often overtaking a person by surprise. And this was one of the things that caused Kepha to deny Yeshua. Yeshua even told him he would, but his reply was to the negative. "Oh no, I'll never do that." "Yes, you will." And he did. And was he in shock when he did? Could it have been that he slept instead of praying? In Mark 14:37-38, it says, "And he came and found," Yeshua came and found them sleeping. And he said to Kepha, "Shimon, are you sleeping? Were you not able to watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into a trial. The spirit indeed is eager, but the flesh is weak." It is the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Spirit, that prompts us to pray. But it's the flesh within us that desires us to sleep, and therefore, without prayer, we will fall. You are heading into trouble when you start losing your desire to be in the assembly of Yehovah's people. And I know most of us have been hanging on with bated breath until we find out when we can resume meeting together again. And I can't tell you the absolute joy it was when we found out that we had this room again. Well, we had this room, we've never had it before. It was like, and I said it to Malachi, I don't know about you, but I've been overseas on many occasions, and people have said to me, are you excited about going? I say, no, I'm never excited about leaving. It's only when I'm over there and it's time to come home that I get excited. But when I learned that we could meet again today, the excitement and the joy that filled my heart went on for hours. And I said to Malachi hours later, I just can't believe the joy that's within me, knowing that we can meet again. It was like a huge weight had been lifted off the shoulders. It was so hard speaking into a blank camera every single week, not having a face to look at. You could probably see me, no doubt you could see me, but I couldn't see you. And even though setting everything up and having to wash everything down like we've got to and wash all the handles on the toilets and all that sort of stuff before we go, it's been fairly stressful getting here and getting it done. But it's still a joy. It's still an absolute joy. So you're heading for trouble when you lose your desire to worship, when you lose your interest in the word of Yehovah, or even if the service, and my message is boring, sorry, but most people today refuse to follow the instructions to pray, and therefore they sit through a service and cannot focus because they're in the flesh and not in the Ruach. We have to get our minds and our will and our emotions, our whole soul ready to come here on Shabbat. We have to be ready to receive. There might only be one word, one sentence that I say that's going to trigger a light bulb within you. There may be more. But even if there's only one, we can praise Yah for that one little bit of gem that you went home with. Yeshua was the leader of 12 men. He called them his Talmudim. When they obeyed him, he blessed them. When they didn't, they fell into temptation. The same applies to us. People can backslide and never know it. They can believe that they are in the perfect will of Yehovah, but they're not. Caiaphas' lack of diligent preparation, which caused him to be caught off guard for what was to follow, that was his denial that he even knew Yeshua HaMashiach. The same thing can happen to us if we allow ourselves to slip into the old habits. As I said 2 weeks ago when I was speaking, iron sharpens iron. And not meeting together and having our spirituality sharpened by others because of personal interaction can cause us to slip or even not concentrate or go to sleep during a service because we're just watching on a computer or a TV as a source of connection. I praise Yah continually that we're finally together so that we can bounce off each other ruachically. In Luke 21, verses 34 to 36, it says, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart. Sorry, I'll start again. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down by gluttony and drunkenness and worries of this life. And of the day, and that day came, sorry, and that day come on you suddenly. For it shall come as a snare on all those dwelling on the face of all the earth. Watch then at all times and pray that you will be counted worthy to escape all this about to take place and to stand before the Son of Adam. Adam in Hebrew is mankind, or literally from taken from Adama, or the earth or the soil. The complete Jewish version of that says, stay alert, always praying that you will have the strength to escape all things that will happen and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. And the Son of Man is Adam. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, for if the word spoken through messengers proved to be firm, and every transgression and disobedience received a right reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a deliverance, which first began to be spoken by the Master and was confirmed to us by those that had heard? When we are proud of ourselves, we become lazy and deny Yeshua. Without diligent preparation, we too can become guilty of cowardice. We have to ask ourselves, are we ashamed of being seen carrying a Bible in public? Are we ashamed of being seen giving thanks in a restaurant or in the presence of unbelievers? Are we ashamed to be seen with other believers? Perhaps even ashamed to let others know that we are a believer. Kepha found himself warming up with the world and denied he even knew Yeshua. In Mark 14, verse 68, it says, but he denied it, saying, I do not know nor understand what you are saying. He went out onto the porch and a cock crowed. Though we may never actually deny Yeshua in words, we can easily backslide to the point of denying him in action. We are called to worship him, but we might make excuses why we cannot. We are called to serve him, but render little or no service. We are called to stand by his side and suffer for his name, but stand afar off in the safety of the world's comfort. We need to be more aware now, in this present age, where we stand and what we stand for. We must never, never, never bow the knee to any person except Yehovah. We must not get caught up with agreeing that Black Lives Matter over All Lives Matter. We must not side with the LGBTQ+ movement. Yes, all of these exist in the world as we know it today. We are to love them as we would any person that comes in our sphere of influence. But we need to remember that we are in this world, but not of this world. Therefore, we do not have to agree with the dogma that they try to present to us and have us agree to. They are all minorities in their own way, but are forcing the majority to go along with their requirements. We have to agree to disagree on those subjects. We don't have to cause an argument. We don't have to get upset because of their philosophies in life. We have to just agree to disagree. We are all entitled to our own opinions, and nobody can take your opinion from you, no matter what they think how they think and what they think of you is none of your business. That's between them and Yah. In Kepha Aleph or 1 Peter 2 verse 11, it says, "Beloved ones, I appeal to you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which battle against the life. When you try to live as close to the world as you can, you are backslid. You cannot love the world and the things of the world if you are going to be Yeshua's Talmud." In Yochanan Aleph or 1 John 2 verses 15 to 17, it says, "Do not love the world nor that which is in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust of it, but the one doing the desire of Elohim remains forever." And in Mishlei Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "Hold fast the discipline, do not let go, watch over her, for she is your life." There is one thing that every leader has to face, and that is rebellion. Every leader from the beginning of time suffered with rebellion. People hate to be told what to do. Moshe dealt with this continually, trying to save people who didn't want to be saved. They wanted freedom, but they wanted it their way. Israel kept looking back to Egypt and could never break free. So that meant they were still in bondage. You can hate sin and sit in through services and refuse to pray, refuse to give, refuse to sacrifice, refuse to obey the scriptures, but you won't make it to heaven. If you are steadily looking back, you will never make it to the promised land. You will find that you are not being blessed in your everyday life and feel that you are under a curse. With the restrictions placed on us at this time with social distancing and praising Yah, we are blessed in Australia that we are not forced to wear a mask as in most other countries. But we must be more diligent than ever to stay in Yehovah's word, spend more time in prayer, and pray his word and blessings over our lives and the lives of our loved ones. We have to stay in tune with him to stay on the narrow path. So if anyone's got any questions, I'm happy to answer them, or we'll go on to the remembrance service. Now the remembrance service is going to be a little bit different, but we're still having it. And I'll explain to you how we're going to do it.